Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
And thanks for joining me here on the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan. Today we have a couple of famous people from the movies and from music. We'll start off with the music part. Frank Sinatra starred as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. We have an episode called Hauling Nitro. This is from 1954.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Here's Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
A guy needs work real bad. Sometimes he'll take a job doing almost anything. Last week I was down to my last subway token, so I answered an ad for a truck driver. Hazardous work, the ad said. And brother, they weren't kidding. Before the job ended, that truck was a hearse and I was almost a client. So pour yourself a hot seltzer and I'll tell you about it.
Come.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yeah?
You the party advertised for a truck driver?
That's right.
I'll take it. My name's Fortune, Rocky Fortune.
Three other guys just turned it down. That'll let me tell you what you have to do.
Just tell me how much it pays.
$50 a day.
Now I want to know what I have to do.
Drive a truck from here to L.A.
What's in it? Uranium?
Nitroglycerin.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you around, Mr. Dougherty.
A fortune.
Yeah?
75 a day.
Mr. Dougherty, I was a PFC with a bazooka during the Battle of the Bulge. I didn't have a scratch on my body when it was over, but somehow my mind got kind of scratched. I don't like loud explosions.
$500 bonus if you make it.
I said I didn't... 500?
Cash.
You got yourself a boy. When do we leave?
In 10 minutes.
Somebody's in a hurry.
A fella in L.A. wants to blow up a movie lot. He needs his stuff.
Okay. I assume I get a relief driver.
That's right.
Who is he?
Me.
Yeah, you're really having trouble finding drivers.
I live in L.A. I just came east with a truck to pick up the nitro.
Okay, Mr. Dougherty.
We're going to be living in a truck cab for 10 days. Call me Doc.
Okay, Doc. I'll phone my landlady.
Oh, before you go.
Yeah.
The company's got rules about driving explosives.
I'm listening.
Nobody except me opens the truck, see? Also, there's a steel shutter between the cab and the back part of the truck. Nobody opens that either. We take back roads all the way, no main highways. Got it?
I got it.
Also, this stuff goes off when you shake it, so try to miss the bumps, huh?
Doc, on the level. What are the chances, huh?
There ain't a thing to worry about. Only...
Only what?
Well, when you call your landlady, tell her if you're not back in a month, she can hang out the vacancy sign.
Oops. Minutes later, I'm driving across the George Washington Bridge in a red and white trailer truck marked Danger, High Explosives. We stop at the toll booth on the Jersey side of the bridge and pay the passage. Just as I'm about to give her the gun, the most gorgeous redhead you ever laid eyes on lays eyes on me.
Hello.
Hi.
Wonder if you boys could give me a lift.
Stranded?
Uh-huh.
Doc?
Why not? Hop in, kid.
We're carrying high explosives, honey.
I can read. Also, I explode very easily myself.
All right, take it easy, take it easy. We seem to be holding up traffic, excuse me.
How far are you going, miss?
All the way.
I beg your pardon?
Hollywood, USA. How far are you going?
All the way. Right, Doc?
Why not?
You mean you'll drive me all the way to L.A.?
If Doc says it's all right.
It's okay with me. Just don't say anything to the company when we get out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. How do you like that? Linda, baby, your luck is beginning to change already.
You, been having a tough time, Red?
The name is Linda.
Okay, Red.
Tough is the understatement of the year. First, I lose my job in the chorus at Sam and Eddie's. And then I lose my pocketbook with every cent in the world in it, including a train ticket to L.A., which some movie company sent me.
Screen test, huh?
Uh-huh. If I ever get there.
Well, good luck. Hey, Doc, just think, we may be riding with another Linda Darnell.
The only movie star I ever liked was Rin Tin Tin. Pardon me while I grab some shut-eye.
As anybody could plainly see, Linda was no dog. However, Doc falls asleep and we head out Route 4. And it ain't long before I hear that old familiar sound, a motorcycle siren. Sure enough, a boy in a blue suit pulls alongside and gives me the wigwag with his glove.
All right, pull it over.
Some difficulty, officer?
Just a routine inspection, chief.
You looking for anything special?
Only 200 grand and the hoods who stole it.
How? What happened?
A gang of hoodlums held up the United States Post Office day before yesterday. Got away with 200 grand.
Did you nab any of them?
We got one who was shot by a guard. The brains of the outfit is a hood named Mike the Butcher.
Oh, I read about that bum.
What's in the trailer?
Nitro.
Let's open it up and have a look.
Okay.
What's with your buddy there?
Oh, he had a hard night. He's sleeping it off. Just a minute. I'll get out and open the back for you.
I think I'll stretch my legs, too.
First time I ever seen a dame running high explosives.
Women are doing everything these days, officer. Why, I understand they're considering ladies state troopers.
When it happens, I resign.
Just let me slip these bolts.
Open it.
Right.
Packed solid, huh?
Yeah, that's mostly straw, though, to keep it from bumping. The nitro's in metal containers buried in the hay.
It looks legitimate. You got a license?
Right here.
Okay, Buster. Close it up.
We cleared?
Just keep off of the main highways.
Right.
Take off.
The trooper, who looks like he escaped from the gorilla cage of Ringling Brothers, speeds out in front till he's out of sight. The redhead and I climb back in the cab. Doc is sleeping like he ain't got a care in the world, so I start up the motor and we head for Pennsylvania.
Rocky.
What's up, kid?
I'm hungry.
Yeah. You know, I could stand some of that fodder myself. I'll pull into that roadside place up ahead.
Thanks, Rocky.
Don't mention it. I'll wake up Doc. He could probably use some Java himself.
Okay.
Hey, Doc. Doc, wake up. Hey, Doc, come on. Line up your flu. Doc?
Can't you wake him up?
No.
Well, let me try.
Wait a minute. Take it easy, Red. Nobody's going to wake him up.
What?
He's dead, baby. Stone cold dead.
But just a little while ago. Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how.
Just take a good look at them finger marks on his throat. You'll understand. Somebody choked this guy to death.
Rocky, you're dreaming. We've been right in this cab with him, except for 1 minute when the state trooper stopped us.
That was the minute that did it.
You mean we've been riding with a dead man all this time? Oh, Rocky.
I throw a blanket over Doherty and head for the roadside rest with Linda right behind me. Inside is a small bar and a couple of tables. I'm just going for the phone when a familiar voice stops me.
Well, look who's here. The high explosive kid.
Officer, you're just the guy I want to see.
Let me buy you a cup of coffee. It's freezing out.
Before you do, I think I ought to tell you I got a stiff out in the truck.
A what?
A body, corpse, a duster.
Oh, you're kidding, aren't you?
Come on out and have a look.
I will. You better come too, miss. He's dead, all right. And it ain't an accident.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, let's have a look in his pockets. This the key to the truck?
That's right.
Oh, I see he carries a rod.
I thought all truck drivers carried them, in case they got trapped in a wreck or something.
Maybe so, Jack. But all truck drivers don't wear phony mustaches, do they? Or is that in case they get an unexpected invitation to a masquerade?
Hey, that is a phony.
When did this job happen?
Well, the only time it could have happened was when the redhead and I got out of the truck to open the back for you.
Okay. What's your name?
Fortune. Rocky Fortune.
Miss?
Linda Crandall.
You two climb in the truck.
With that?
You've been holding hands with him for 2 hours. Another couple of minutes don't matter.
What do we do?
Follow me. We're going to drive over to headquarters and have a little conference about this with the lights on. Let's go. And keep right behind me.
Anything you say, pal.
Rocky.
Uh-huh.
I think we're in trouble.
I think so, too, kid. Also, I think we're going to get out of it.
What do you mean?
I mean, keep an eye out for the first side road, you see. That's where we turn off.
But, Rocky, that trooper...
Kiddo, you see that signpost up ahead there?
You mean the one that says Honesdale?
Uh-huh.
What about it?
Honesdale, my love, is in Pennsylvania.
So?
So what's a New Jersey state trooper doing leading us to headquarters in Pennsylvania? And while I'm at it, why is he wearing a Dick Tracy badge under his coat?
What?
I saw it inside the bar.
But you mean he's a fraud?
He's as phony as Santa's beard.
But why?
A good question. Why was Doc here choked to death? And why was he wearing a fake mustache?
But
how come this fake trooper's going up and down the highway looking for Mike the Butcher and 200 grand in cash? You want to play 20 questions?
Not now. Oh, we're coming to a dirt road off the side.
We'll just wait until Dick Tracy passes it on his cycle, and we make like Barney Oldfield. Hang on, honey. How are we doing?
He's coming after us.
Well, keep tabs on him and flash me.
Rocky's got a gun.
Oh, brother, if he puts a bullet in that nitroglycerin...
Well, this bumpy road isn't helping either.
Uh-oh.
He's gaining, Rocky.
Yeah. There's a turn up ahead, though. I'm going to try it. Hang on.
Rocky! Rocky, look out!
Dead end. Unless this thing can climb a steel fence.
Oh. Rocky, here he comes.
Yeah.
Rocky, he'll kill us. But he fell off his motorcycle.
Yeah. Come on, he must have hurt himself.
Rocky? Rocky, is he...
He's dead, baby. Now we got two corpses on our hands.
Oh, he must have had an accident.
He sure did. He drove into a couple of 30 caliber bullets and managed to hit him with his head.
But how? I don't have a gun. You don't have a gun. Doc is dead. Oh, Rocky, this is getting spooky.
Let's see. He was right behind us and the bullets hit him head on.
And Doc was in the cab of the truck when he was killed.
Honey, I just had a brainstorm.
Where are you going?
I'm going to open the back of that truck and have a look inside. You stay right here.
But the truck is filled with straw and nitroglycerin.
So it would seem, but I'm going to have me another look. Oh. We'll just unlock this, kid. Open the doors. And slide this partition. And...
Howdy do. Keep your hands up or I'll give you what this phony trooper just got.
Yeah, sure thing.
Rocky? What is it?
We got guests, baby. Somebody's been living in the back of our living room here all the time.
Get over here, redhead. Stand next to your pal.
Who are you? How'd you get in there?
Never mind that.
He's been in there all the time, Red. The nitro and the straw just covered up back of the half of the truck.
Rocky, he must have killed Doc.
Did kill Doc, honey. He just reached through the grill that connects the cab and the truck compartment and choked him.
You're both too smart for your own good. Just like Doc.
Just think, honey, we've been chauffeurs for none other than Mike the Butcher. Yeah, that's a pretty smart way to get across the country with 200 grand in hot money. Why'd you choke your pal Dockety, Mike?
Doc got a little too clever, fly boy. When Blinky Harry come along on his kiddie car, Dockety says to me through the back of the truck, Mike, he says, unless you want me to tell Blinky Harry you're in here, you better split that 200 G's with me, 50-50.
So you choked him?
He was breathing my face. I can't stand the smell of garlic, so what else could I do? Also, I don't like double crosses.
I suppose you ain't double crossing Blinky Harry and the other boys who helped you pull that stick up. I suppose you're just lambing across the country with the loot so you can protect it for the boys.
Yeah. How'd you guess?
I could tell by the way Blinky and the boys were chasing you on motorcycles, making like state troopers and searching cars. You don't think you're going to get away with this, do you, Mike?
Why not?
If the law doesn't get you, the mob will.
They got to catch me first. And Mike the Butcher don't catch easy.
A guy with two corpses on his hands gets to be a little prominent.
I ain't worried. Business is so good, I'm even thinking of putting on a couple of fresh ones. Come on, Egghead, help me get Blinky and Doc into the back of the truck.
Then what?
Then we go for a drive. A nice, quiet drive.
Rocky!
not much point in arguing with a killer like Mike the Butcher, so we stuffed Blinky Harry and the doc into the back of the truck under the straw, and then me and the redhead and Mike climb into the cab and start what looks like the last lap.
Where are we, Fortune?
Just outside Pittsburgh.
I'm hungry.
I could stand a little chow myself.
Yeah, it's getting dark, too.
Next place you pass with curb service, pull in.
Yeah, we're coming to one now.
Okay, ease her in and wait for the car hop. I'll do all the talking. I mean, all the talking.
You'll carry any artillery, pal.
Pull in. All right, blow the horn for service. And not a peep.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. What'll it be?
Three hamburger plates, three coffees, three bags of popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Onion?
No onions.
Yes, sir. Hey, carrying explosives, huh?
That's right, Junior.
Boy, I sure wouldn't want your job. What are you loaded with?
Dynamite.
Wow.
Get the food, Junior.
Yes, sir. How about some ketchup?
Bring the works.
Yes, sir.
Junior brings a chow, and we light into it like three wolves in a pastry shop. While Mike the Butcher's picking his teeth with the barrel of his .45, I see Linda writing a message on a paper plate, using ketchup for ink and a French fried potato for a pen. Junior comes back out with three bags of popcorn just as Linda sails the paper plate toward the door of the eatery.
Here's the popcorn, sir. Did you enjoy the hamburgers?
That's swell. Here, toss this stuff in the garbage.
Oh, thank you, sir. Hey, you know, most people just throw their plates on the ground, which means I have to pick them up.
Oh, it's tough. What do I owe you, kid?
210, sir.
Just a minute.
Wow. Is that whole suitcase full of money?
Just the tray, Junior. Here, keep the change.
Gee, thanks. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Yes, call the police.
I beg your pardon?
Shut up, Red. She's crazy. Been eating nitroglycerin. Get going, Fortune.
Okay.
You just talked yourself out of a long life, Redhead. I can't afford to take chances.
She didn't mean anything.
Not much. Okay, Fortune. Next dirt road you see, turn off.
Listen, this nitro won't take much more banging around. It's liable to go boom.
So is this .45. Now, you do like I say.
I drive up a deserted road, wondering if Junior found a message on the paper plate. And even if he did, how would the cops find us? After a couple of miles of bouncing around, Mike pokes his rod into my right eye and we stop.
That is far enough. Okay, Redhead, you can stop chomping the popcorn now. Here's where you get out.
Me?
You. Keep the motor running, Fortune. Okay, step down.
Aren't you too getting out?
Not yet. Now walk over there toward the edge of the road. Keep your back to us.
What are you going to do, Mike?
Gonna get rid of the redhead. She's too dangerous.
You just can't shoot her in the back.
It's against the game regulations.
No, I know why they call you Mike the Butcher.
That's far enough, baby. Just stand there while Papa pulls his trigger. Hey, Fortune, stop the truck. Stop her, I'll put a bullet in you.
Go ahead, Mike, shoot. If this crate piles up, that TNT will go off like a Roman candle.
You crazy idiot.
Crazy like a granddaddy fox. Give me that gun.
Are you nuts?
We're doing 50 miles an hour, Mike.
You can't bluff me.
You see that stone fence up ahead?
Fortune.
We should be doing 90 when we hit it.
Fortune, stop it.
The gun, Mike.
Fortune!
The gun.
Oh, okay, here it is.
Thanks. One move and I'll ventilate you.
All right, you win.
Sit over next to the door while I drive back for the redhead.
Yeah, like you say.
There she is.
Rocky? Rocky, all right?
I'm fine. Open the door for her, Mike.
Sure. In fact, I'll be glad to get out.
Red!
Rocky! Don't shoot!
Okay, don't move. One move, Fortune. I stick this penknife right in her throat.
Ah, you yellow...
Shut up! Now toss the gun.
Rocky! Rocky, you're joking me.
The gun?
Take it.
Okay. Now, both of you, into the back of the truck. Come on. Open it up, Fortune.
Yeah.
All right. Get in. You first, Red. Now you, Fortune.
Sure.
In. Okay. I've had enough of you two. So I'm saying so long to you and the other two stiffs.
What are you going to do, Mike?
Me? I'm just going to back off a couple of hundred feet and start throwing lead into this nitroglycerin. Then I'm going to watch you and the redhead and the stiffs go up like a 4th of July celebration.
Well, it ought to be painless anyway.
You won't feel a thing. So long, sucker. Okay, Fortune. Here it comes.
Wait a minute, Butcher.
Yeah?
If you turn around, the cops can get a better shot at you.
Up, Butcher. Not this boy, copper! Ah!
Come on, kid. Let's get out of this fireworks factory.
You two all right?
We're okay. How's the Butcher?
I had to finish him.
How'd you find us?
Well, the car hop at the curb restaurant called us when he found the lady's message on the plate. And we followed the popcorn.
Popcorn?
Uh-huh. I managed to drop some out the window all along the road.
Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty.
All right, where's the rest of the money?
How'd you know about that?
Well, those bills he used to pay the car hop are marked like a theater exit. They're part of the post office loot.
They're in that suitcase next to Mike's body.
All right, let's have a look. Wow. I'll just take these.
I'm afraid you won't, officer. I'll take them.
Huh? Who do you think you are?
Well, if you'll look at my credentials, you'll see that I'm an agent for the United States Postal Department.
What?
We were tipped off that Mike the Butcher had double-crossed the gang, was trying to get out of the state. I was what you might call a plant.
Holy smokes.
Isn't there a reward for recovering this stuff?
Oh, yes. It goes to Mr. Fortune here.
No kidding. What is it?
This. That's for saving my life.
Yeah. When we go home, baby, you better ride in the back of the truck with the rest of the high explosives.
Mm-hmm. Suppose I don't.
Pow!
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Frank Gerstle, Lynn Allen, Bill Justine, Howard Culber, Jack Carroll, and Maurice Hart. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. To tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Say, did you ever notice how every week I get dragged or thrown into a homicidal picnic where I get pushed around? I'm not complaining, but I've gotten so many bumps lately I have to pay overtime for head readings. And speaking about lumps and stuff, reminds me of another form of homicide, the football racket. That'll be the background for next week's little tete-a-tete. I'll see you around.
It said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. So do thousands upon thousands of polio victims who receive merciful aid through your cheerful contributions to the March of Dimes. Your extra help is needed now to pay for history's greatest assault against infantile paralysis, the 1954 polio prevention program, through gamma globulin and vast field tests of a polio vaccine. This is the year that the March of Dimes has started its polio prevention program. Your dimes and dollars are going to help pay for more gamma globulin and the mass tests of the trial vaccine. Join the March of Dimes and give extra for victory over polio. You'll be glad you did. Visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
And for our second program, we have an episode of The Saint, starring Vincent Price. This is called The Corpse Said Ouch, from 1950.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as...
The Saint.
I'm not home. It's the middle of the night and I'm asleep. I'm in Schenectady, sitting up with a sick aunt. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Simon Templer?
Well, come in and we'll compare social security cards.
Thank you. I thought you were in Schenectady.
Never heard of the place.
Sitting up with a sick aunt.
She recovered suddenly.
Simon, I need help. Desperately.
Why?
Because I'm dead.
You're what?
Dead.
Oh, well, of course, some of my best friends...
Simon, my name is Francis Blake. Here, read this.
Read?
That little item down in the corner, under obituaries.
Obituaries? Says here that the body of Francis Blake is at the Restwell Chapel. Burial at noon tomorrow.
You see, the newspapers say that I'm dead.
Yeah, but I don't know whether to believe them or not. You are Francis Blake?
Oh, of course I am.
Come here a moment.
All right.
Thank you. Now...
Simon, what are you... Ouch!
I beg your pardon.
You pinched me.
Yes?
But...
Well, I had to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
But you're supposed to pinch yourself if you think you're dreaming.
I know, but this way was more fun. Also, I never heard a corpse say ouch before. Therefore, you're not dead.
I already knew that.
I didn't. Now that that's settled, I think perhaps we ought to go visit.
Visit whom?
Your corpse. Taxi! Taxi!
Day or night, rain or bright.
Never mind, Louis.
Oh, Mr. Templer, had I have known it was you, I wouldn't have bothered with the whimsy.
Had I known it was you, I just wouldn't have bothered. However, Francis...
Oh, thank you.
Louis should perhaps be explained. He's a cab driver I try to avoid. I rarely succeed. Which proves to me that my life isn't all that it should be.
Keep it clean. And where at this hour of the night are you going?
The Restwell Chapel.
Get another cab.
Louis.
Okay, okay. Some sport. Takes a girl to see a funeral parlor in the middle of the night.
I'm merely taking her home.
She lives in a funeral parlor?
She's dead in a funeral parlor.
Who's dead?
Miss Blake.
Huh? Me. Excuse me, but
Louis,
I got...
don't take
I
your hands off
gonna...
the wheel. I already did.
Yes, so?
She said ouch.
Personally, I would have liked to find out for myself, but if you say so...
I do.
I'll take your word for it. Only how are you going to explain to the funeral parlor her riding around in cabs with you?
Simple. I am apparently the kind of a man a girl wouldn't mind being seen dead with.
Restwell Chapel at your service.
Louis...
I know. Wait. But I'm telling you one thing, considering the type of company you're keeping. I ain't waiting till nobody plays no hot licks and a trumpet.
Well, I don't think you'll have to. Come along, Francis.
All right. I've been trying to pretend to myself that it's all some kind of a joke, but that... funeral parlor looks too real.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. One nice thing about funeral parlors, they're always open.
That you call nice?
She have a point there. Ooh, listen to that doorbell. Chopin, at least.
Ah.
I beg your pardon?
I said, ah.
Ah. Come in, Francis.
This is an hour that comes to all.
Except in states that don't have daylight saving.
I, sir, was referring to your bereavement. Whom are you mourning?
We would like to look at Francis Blake.
The hour is late, but grief knows no clock.
Good heavens, an epigram.
We try, sir. If you'll follow me.
Thank you.
Here we are. And there she is. Beautiful, isn't she?
Very.
Simon, she does look like me.
A little bit, but hardly enough to explain. How did she get here,
Miss Blake?
Mm.
The Police brought her.
Oh, I see. Who identified her?
Well, that was hardly necessary. Her coat over there in the corner.
Simon!
Wait a minute, Francis. What about her coat?
It had her name on the label. Now I shall withdraw. You will want to be alone with your grief.
All right, but make a sound withdrawing, please. So we'll know you're withdrawn?
Oh, really, sir, it's no use jesting. The dead never laugh.
Well, he's withdrawn.
Simon, that's my coat. It is mine, Simon, but look.
Yes, two holes in the front of it, bullet holes.
Bullet holes?
The girl here, whoever she is, was murdered. Come on, we better get out.
All right, but I'm taking my coat.
I don't think...
It's mine, not hers. It belongs to me, even though she was murdered in it. Simon, what was that girl doing with my coat?
Wearing it when she was shot, presumably.
But
there's another question, perhaps a more important one. Why was she shot in the first place?
I suppose she had enemies.
Have you?
Back again?
Yeah, we're back again. Francis.
Oh, thank you.
The little lady lost her place?
Francis, where do you live?
The Thornton Towers.
Louis.
I heard.
Simon, back there. Why did you ask if I had any enemies?
The coat's a distinctive one.
Well, it's a very colorful plaid.
Yes, the girl back at the funeral parlor was murdered while wearing it. The question comes to, was her wearing the coat when she was killed merely a coincidence, or was she killed because her murderer thought she was, you? Here you are, Louis, and...
I know. Don't wait. On account of your sitting up with a dead friend.
Good night, Louis.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Oh, Simon, it's so good to be back home. My apartment's down the corridor. Simon, I feel terrible.
Oh, you needn't.
But what you said in the cab... She was wearing my coat, a very distinctive one. And then she was shot to death. That girl is dead because of me.
No, we don't really know that.
Well, it must be so. Somebody thought she was me and killed her.
That's possible.
But then, that means that somebody wants to kill me.
Is this your door?
Oh, yes.
Of course, it's also possible that someone didn't like the coat and... Hey, did you leave your lights on when you left?
No.
There's a light in the room ahead.
Well, that's the living room.
You stay here in the hall. I'll go ahead and see who it is.
But
I just want to make sure they're neutral on the subject of plaid coats, or you. Shh.
Oh. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, how she was beautiful, your wife.
My what?
Your wife. It's her picture on the desk there, no?
Well, that does seem to be a picture of Francis.
And your name, she is?
My name's Simon.
Ah, it is a name that fills herself with the soul, no?
No.
I knew that tonight, of all nights, you would be lonely.
Believe me, I'm not lonely.
I am here. Oh, your wife, she must have been a wonderful woman.
She,
Your life with her was the magnificent symphony, no?
Chamber music would probably be more accurate if you...
And were. Now that she is alas gone, I am here.
Without even a pause for station identification. Look, who are you?
I am Olga.
Simon,
Who is she?
Olga.
Who is she?
Francis. And now that you two have met...
Waiting a moment, huh? Aha. I look on the picture. I look on the flash.
The what?
The flash. Of which I might adding your wife is perhaps carrying a little too much here and there. Especially there.
Now, just a minute.
Mustn't point, Olga. Bad manners.
But I am seeing your wife. She is not dead.
She isn't. That is, Francis isn't. If you like, you could try pinching her.
I never pinch... Except boys.
Oh.
Simon, you are disappointing me. Goodbye.
Well, that was quite a performance.
Personally, I didn't care for her cadenza.
Oh, I don't know. It was a nice cadenza, and the tutti was definitely fruity. Oh. That is, Francis, the whole thing was camouflaged.
For what?
Take a look at the room.
The room? Oh!
Yes, it looks as if a junior hurricane had visited it.
You mean somebody of Olga searched the room?
Uh-huh. This one and, yeah, the bedroom as well.
But, Simon, what was she looking for?
I don't know. Whatever it was, she didn't find it. Our entrance stopped her search.
Well, I'd better start straightening things up a bit.
Good idea. I'll help you.
Well, shouldn't you be going home?
Oh, I don't think so. You may get some more visitors later on and rougher ones than Olga.
Why?
Well, maybe they'll tell us if we ask them prettily. In the meanwhile...
Yes, Simon?
We can practice the overture to that symphony Olga mentioned.
Simon.
Yes?
It's getting awfully late.
Yes, I know.
We really can't sit up all night waiting for someone to come. We don't even know for sure that someone will.
Olga got into this apartment, and someone else did before her.
Someone else?
Of course. Your coat was stolen, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose, but not from the apartment, Simon.
Not from... Where was it stolen from?
Well, I can't be sure, of course, but I gave that coat to the cleaning shop down the block about a week ago.
Cleaning shop?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
The Carter Cleaners. Why?
Because evidently it started out from there to wind up on a murdered girl's body. Therefore, come on.
We're gonna...
Yes, believe it or not, I'm taking you to the cleaners. I thought I told you not to wait.
This is a free country?
Yes,
there's
but...
a parking limit on this here curb, maybe?
No, but...
I waited.
But we're only going down the block a little bit.
You can't afford a quarter?
I like to walk.
What do you get from walking?
Exercise.
Uh-huh, and from exercise, an enlarged heart. From an enlarged heart, you know how many people each year drop dead?
Add them up. We're walking. Come on, Francis.
Simon, you're worried.
Moderately, about all those people with enlarged hearts. This is the place, huh?
Yes.
Front door's shut, but there's a light inside. Let's try. It's locked, however.
I think someone's coming.
Recognize him?
Yes. Yes, that's Mr. Maxson, the manager.
Oh, what do you want?
Do you mind if we come in?
Look, it may have escaped your attention, but it happens to be after 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you want to come in?
The rain.
It's not raining.
But suppose it starts.
I happen to be a very tired man.
You should go home earlier.
I shouldn't be bothered by drunks.
I'm not drunk. We've stopped by for Miss Blake's coat.
Coat?
The plaid.
As I may have mentioned before, we are not open for business.
And then what are you doing here?
I'm crazy about carbon tetrachloride fumes.
I'd still like the coat.
Oh? Then please do stop by in the morning.
Simon, why did you...
I wanted to find out if the cleaning store knew the plaid coat was gone.
But we didn't find out, did we?
No, nevertheless, we've worried Mr. Maxson. Thank heaven Louis's handy. Hey, Louis! Louis!
You give up, huh?
Yeah. Into the cab, Francis.
All right.
Well... Name your destination, Mr. Templer.
A very long trip.
Yeah?
Drive to the back of the cleaning store. You'll probably have to go around the block. That alley must lead there.
Okay.
But, Simon, why are we going to the back of the store? Because we're going in?
No, because I suspect Mr. Maxson is going out.
All this here is maybe none of my business.
It isn't.
Oh, you know, a remark like that could easily hurt a fellow's feelings.
I'm sorry.
No, it didn't hurt mine.
I'm sorrier still.
But you're not spending this PM in the way a PM should be spent.
Nonsense. So far, it's all been good, clean fun.
That's what I mean.
Simon, Mr. Maxson hasn't come out of the store yet.
No, he may be coy, however.
But why should he have anything to do with anything?
He shouldn't, but it's very possible that...
Simon!
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Maxson is shutting up shop.
coming down the back alley, which confirmed something or other.
You mean if he weren't hiding something, he wouldn't use the back way?
Perhaps. We're far enough away from the alley for him not to notice. Look, he's turning the corner. Louis.
I am alert. Not for nothing was I a Boy Scout. Although, actually, what I was a Boy Scout for was a certain Girl Scout.
Hold it a minute. He's getting into that buck.
He's a villain. That's a convertible. Everybody knows only villains ride around in convertibles.
He started. Louis.
Here we go.
Hey, look. Maxon's stopping.
Yeah. I better stop right here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Simon, he's going into that nightclub.
Interesting place for a store manager to finish his evening's work. Let's go, Francis.
Leave me know how the floor show is.
I'll be sure to.
Barker's Bandbox. I've heard of the club.
Yeah, and I've heard of Barker. Nothing complimentary either. Well, here it is, and in we go. Dark, crowded, and needs ventilation. The floor show? Emphasis on show.
Simon, Mr. Maxson's over there.
Yeah, ducking out of the door near the piano. Let's follow in his shifty footsteps, huh?
Gee, I hope nobody notices us.
With what's going on, or rather coming off, I don't think so.
So dark in this hallway.
Yeah, listen.
I can't hear what they're saying.
We can get a little closer.
Simon.
Now, wait a minute, Barker.
I've been waiting long enough. Where are the stones?
I told you, the girl disappeared.
I know what you told me. Don't give me the stones. Now, suppose you tell me where the stones are.
I don't know where they are.
Stones.
Yeah, Barker's Look, got quite a reputation as a crook of various kinds. Stones are jewelry and unquestionably stolen jewelry. I...
Having fun, fellas? Hope I didn't frighten you, lady. Coming up behind you, two nosy people like this.
That was her asthma.
Yeah. This here's a rod.
How cute. Could I see it?
Let go.
Simon, I've got his gun.
Yeah, and I've got a fist. Let's see what happens. How gratifying. I hit him and he fell down.
Jake!
Come on. All that could happen to us in here...
Jake!
...would be fatal.
Fired at us.
Yeah, I know. It's always a little nervous making. Well, here we are.
Thanks, Simon.
No, not yet. I'm going in with you.
But...
No, for safety.
Oh. You think maybe...
I'm just not taking any chances. Foyer's all right. Living room. Francis.
What?
Don't look across the room. Olga's back, but this time she's staying.
What do you mean?
I hoped you wouldn't see her. She isn't beautiful anymore.
Oh, no. Just dead.
I'd better phone the police.
Wait, Simon. You know this thing started with Francis Blake being dead.
But it wasn't Francis Blake. It was another girl.
And then someone else got killed. Olga.
Still not Francis Blake.
But Simon, the next time, do you think maybe it will be?
Let's get out of here. Good night, Temple.
Good night, Lieutenant. Thanks for dropping over. And exit Olga, exit police. Francis.
Yes, Simon.
You better go to bed. I'll stay on. It's almost morning anyway.
Oh, well, I couldn't sleep. Would you like me to fix us some breakfast?
Oh, say, that's not a bad idea if you feel up to it.
Oh, I don't know how I feel. You stay right where you are. Won't take me more than a few minutes.
All right.
Okay, that's all the sound you're gonna make, sister. The gun's loaded. If you got ideas about yelling for help, remember this. Bullets get to you quicker than help. Now let's get out of here, by the service door, like I come in.
But Simon...
And the boyfriend, you write him a letter from where you're going. If you're lucky, sister. And I hope you're lucky. You're too pretty to enjoy dying so quick.
Hey, Francis, what are you cooking? Steak? Francis, I don't intend to oversee your cooking, but... Francis, Francis.
Here she is, Mr. Barker.
Yeah. Nice work, Jake.
I want to know what this is all about.
Yeah, I bet you do. You and me both, baby. What'd you do with the stones?
The stones?
Yeah. The chorus girl's delight, the old man's charm, the stones.
Oh, you mean jewels. I don't have any.
Maybe not on you, but you're going to tell us where they are, won't you, baby?
Suppose I don't know.
I wouldn't care to believe that.
Well, you'd better start, because I don't know.
All right. I'll start not believing you. Jake.
Yeah?
I don't believe her. I don't think she's behaving right.
You don't, huh?
I don't.
Okay, Mr. Barker.
What are you going to do?
I'll slap you around a bit. It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me, too.
Oh, no, you can't.
Want to bet?
Hold it a minute, Jake. I'll get it.
Yeah. Barker?
Who are you?
Simon Templer. You've got Francis Blake there, haven't you?
It's your phone call.
You must have. Listen, if you don't hurt her in any way, I'll get you the stones you're looking for. She doesn't know where they are.
Matter of fact, where are the stones?
The Carter Cleaner's shop.
Look, don't hand me that. We already been through the joint.
But you didn't know where to look.
Yeah? That could be a deal. Okay. But your girlfriend will be under a gun all the time. First funny move and she gets it.
No funny moves.
We'll be seeing you. Okay, Jake, we're going visiting. Maybe we'll trade in a babe for the stones. If the stones are handed over. If they ain't, we'll just trade her in.
Good morning and... You were here last night.
That's right, Mr. Maxson. I was looking for a plaid coat.
Plaid?
Yes, maybe it would be here on this rack.
Oh, it wouldn't be there. You see, this rack is for dresses.
And this is for last night. Sorry to have upset you, Mr. Maxson, but company's coming and I've got to set the table for them.
Joint looks clean. No blue uniforms around. Park it, Jake.
Okay.
Here we go, baby.
I can walk by myself.
Yeah, I know, but I enjoy your company.
Simon!
Hello, Francis.
You Templar?
That's right.
Simon,
Hey, stay next to me, sister.
I better just lock the door so we won't be interrupted. All right, where are the stones?
Yeah, they're in the place here. They must be.
I don't like the sound of that. It could be a stall. What's that?
And Mr. Maxson, he fell down while he was pressing some suits or something.
Yeah? Get up, Maxson. Come on.
Hello, Mr. Barker.
Hello, rat.
Oh, you don't have to talk that way, Mr. Barker. I can't help it if the stones were stolen from me, if the woman double-crossed me.
This babe here?
Yeah. Why don't you work her over, Mr. Barker, and her boyfriend? After all, they're the ones who killed Olga, aren't they? It was a narrow apartment.
Never mind Olga. I like the kid. I sent her out the job. She got it. Business, you gotta cut your losses when you have to. I still want the stones. Are you?
They are here. They have to be.
Then find them.
I've looked, but they're hidden cleverly.
You sound like a guy up a tree, mister, and in just a couple of seconds, I'm gonna cut that tree down.
Tree? Hey, wait a minute. Tree? Suppose you wanted to hide a tree so you couldn't find it. Where would you hide it?
I ain't interested in hiding trees.
You'd hide it in a forest, of course. Therefore, going through the place, I noticed... Francis, go through that dress rack.
Dress rack?
Find a dress, any dress, that doesn't seem to belong.
Well, all right.
Well, I don't get it, boys. Who wants to hide a tree?
Get up, Jake. Maybe it's that simple.
Simon, I'm not sure what you mean, but this shop is in a pretty expensive neighborhood. All the dresses here are very good ones, except this one. It's quite cheap, covered with cheap rhinestones.
Let me have it. Yes, of course, it doesn't belong here. Why is it here? Because it's a forest.
Looks like a rag to me, not like a forest.
Then suppose you take another look at some of the rhinestones, huh?
Let me have it.
Hey. Yeah, most of the things sewn on that dress are cheap rhinestones, but among them...
are the genuine stones. The ones we've been looking for.
Well, nice work, Maxon.
I didn't know anything about it. Somebody else must have done it to frame me.
No kidding.
Wait a minute, Barker. Wait.
For what? I'm going to tell you something, Maxon.
No, Barker, I...
You sure told him.
Never did like a double crosser. Hey, where are you going?
Well, it occurred to me you mightn't like witnesses either.
Frank, you stay behind me.
Hey, what are you...
Pressing machines build up quite a lot of beam pressure.
I kicked the outlet pipe off, and it's aimed at you. You better scram, Barker, unless you want to get hard boiled.
Why are you...
Hey, it's getting too hot in here. Come on.
You leaving us?
They've gone.
Yes, Francis, but not for long. And the police won't have much trouble picking them up with them all... Forgive me, but I can't resist it. With them all steamed up.
Simon, I'm terribly grateful, but I can't resist...
Francis...
asking you what it was all about.
Oh, an intellectual, huh? Well, you see, Francis, Maxon and Barker were partners in the jewelry business. Illegitimate.
Oh.
They worked out a nice idea. They'd use very distinctive clothes left with the cleaning shop as disguises for themselves and their confederates.
Oh, and disguises which couldn't be traced because they'd lead back only to perfectly innocent people who had alibis and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the last job they did involved a girl who wore your plaid coat while stealing the jewels.
Oh.
Maxon, however, decided he wanted all the jewels for himself, so he killed the girl and hid the stones.
And Olga?
He had to kill Olga because she suspected something wrong and came to this apartment because that's where the plaid coat came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how did you know that Maxon had killed her?
Back in the shop, he said Olga had been killed in this apartment. How did he know that?
Because he'd killed her. Oh, Simon, what would I have done without you?
The question is, what are you going to do with me?
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, our cast tonight included Shirley Mitchell, Viola Vaughn, Larry Dobkin, Lou Merrill, Tony Barrett, and Jack Moyles. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that The Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Programs, get your programs here. Tomorrow night, tune here for Nightbeat. Hear the unusual tales uncovered by reporter Randy Stone as he searches Chicago after dark for human interest stories. Tomorrow night and every Monday night, hear Nightbeat. And then stay tuned for The First Piano Quartet. Next, Sam Spade cuts...
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.